Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What did happen to Corey Trice anyway? I just had a song where he was the only person who rhymed with nice. I was describing you as nice, and I needed... It was either lice or Corey Trice.
Glad that you did not say I had lice, yes.
Where is Corey Trice?
IR.
Okay.
Still.
All right.
Fortunately, he's been a frequent resident of that neighborhood.
Mike DeFabo warming up in the bullpen. We're going to bring him out in a moment. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 6 matchup between the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Limits, have you been mentioning the quarterback news from the AFC North?
Did I miss something?
Yes, you did.
Is it Lamar Jackson injury?
No. Yes, it is. Tom Pelissero said on Good Morning Football today, which is my favorite show on television, by the way. Do you like that show?
I do.
I like the theme song. I like the hosts. I like all the characters. I really enjoyed it. It feels like old school television for me, where it was the Partridge Family or the Brady Bunch.
Now,
or
I do
perhaps
miss
Fantasy Island or something like that, where, or Magnum P.I. back when we couldn't tape anything. You had to be in your chair limits watching the show, and man, were you happy when the theme song came on and you could be entertained for a while. I feel that way about Good Morning Football. It's my favorite show on all of television.
And when that guy at the very end shouts, "Good Morning Football!"
Exactly.
I miss Peter Schrager, though, on that show.
I don't.
I do.
I think he's good, but I don't miss him. Where's DeFabo? All I see is Bob's cardboard. There he is. Mike DeFabo of The Athletic. Mike, how are you?
That was an awesome introduction, Joe. Thank you so much for having me on your program.
You're welcome. I heard you admiring the Pompeiani cardboard cutout. It is very realistic, is it not?
It is. He doesn't have arms, but with a voice like that, who needs arms?
Exactly. And the cutout is actually more talkative during breaks than Ron Cook used to be. So I enjoy our interactions. I also heard you say that Bob is nicer than most. Especially in the Pittsburgh media, and sometimes people can get a little bit bitter, don't you think?
I think what I said was, I think he's the only happy and nice person in Pittsburgh sports media, and I include myself squarely in that category. Everyone in Pittsburgh sports media is a very miserable person.
What about Jeff?
What about Jeff Hathorne? He seems nice.
Jeff is a beautiful person. Yeah. Jeff is the hardest working guy, and your bosses who are listening to this absolutely should give him a raise and a promotion and his own show. I love Jeff. Jeff's the man.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't fit that characterization, although I know what you mean. When I went on the Penguins beat way back when, the first guy that I sort of interacted with as a competitor was Dave Molinari. And I thought, if everybody's like this, I'm going to leave this profession within 10 minutes.
Yeah, Dave Molinari has a phenomenal dry sense of humor. And definitely fits some of the criteria that I mentioned earlier about being maybe, yeah. But I love Dave. Dave has an amazing, and Dave also one time saved my life.
Did he? Literally?
During the COVID days, you had to have some kind of certification that said that you had been vaccinated and tested negative, which in a certain period of time, to enter Canada. And so I'm sitting there about to cover this game in Ottawa, and I'm like, yeah, guys, that was really a pain to go through that whole process to get in here. And they're like, yeah, and where did you get your test to go back to the United States? And I was like, what are you talking about? I thought it was just like, oh, we came into Canada. When you're done with the house party. Thanks for having me, guys. You walk out the front door and back into America. But apparently you needed another test, except if you drove. So I got in a car and Dave Molinari drove me like 14 hours from Ottawa back to Pittsburgh. And for that, I will be forever indebted to him.
Wow. The trip from Ottawa to Pittsburgh, I remember well, with Rob Rossi, Josh Yowie, and Karen Price. Good old Pricey.
I don't know Karen Price, but these hockey road trips, they do bring the beat together, because you're going to encounter adversity on the road, like not having the right paperwork, and you're going to have to find a way to work around it.
Well, I'm glad he saved your life. That was a heartwarming story. Tom Pelissero on Good Morning Football says that the Bengals have had conversations about potential trades. Nothing imminent with Kirk Cousins or anyone else. Man, it would seem to make sense. Russell Wilson there at least could throw up some moon balls to those receivers. And the other piece of news, Pelissero says, he says Browning remains in line to get another start, which means another loss. And he also says it seems unlikely that Lamar will be out there this week against the Rams for the Ravens. So as far as I'm concerned, that's a loss. They're an expansion team with their other injuries and no Lamar. Limits what?
Can I come in with some breaking news?
Please, yes.
According to Ian Rappaport, the Bengals are trading for quarterback Joe Flacco.
What?
The Bengals are trading for Flacco, according to Rap Sheet.
Holy ostrich milk.
That's crazy.
Are you sure that's a real account?
It's real. Confirmed by Pelissero as well. Mike, that's not who I expected.
Me neither. Mike, can you milk an ostrich?
I can milk anything with nipples. Isn't that how the saying goes?
Yeah, I think that was actually from Meet the Fockers. Yes. What do you think of that? You get first dibs on that one. Joe Flacco to the Bengals.
Well, I think that Jake Browning's clearly not the answer, so they need to do something. Yeah. I was sitting there during Sunday's game watching it, and the broadcasters were talking about how so much of the offense was built around the deep ball. And I was just about to answer your question, Joe, saying, yeah, I think your idea of Russell Wilson makes a tremendous amount of sense. But I mean, I think at this point they're in desperation mode. And the bottom line is this with the Bengals, they're Joe Burrow and a bunch of other people.
Like, yeah.
Last year when Joe Burrow returned from injury, I thought, okay, they're immediately going to be a contender. And I forgot that Joe Burrow doesn't also play safety. And he also does not play edge rusher. And he also does not play inside linebacker. That Bengals defense is so bad, it's the cure-all for any problem you have going on in your offense. Let's remember the last couple times the Steelers have played the Bengals defense. They made us all convinced that Kenny Pickett could be a franchise quarterback and Matt Canada was the problem.
Good
then
point.
The next time they played the Bengals, we were convinced Mason Rudolph didn't get a fair shake, and actually he could be a legitimate starting quarterback in the NFL. Then last year when Russell Wilson played that Bengals defense,
right,
we thought Steelers are going to the Super Bowl and Russell Wilson is the man. So until they fix that defense, they need a guy like Joe Burrow to carry them, and I don't care if you bring in Joe Flacco or Russell Wilson or Terry Bradshaw. It's not going to help you because Joe Burrow just is that entire team.
I mean, the way that this division has imploded here, I look at it this way, Mike. We're talking to Mike DeFabo of the Athletic Fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can weigh in on the text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. I think the bar's been raised to where this season is a total failure if the Steelers don't win this division. How can you not win the division at this point? How can you not?
Yeah, well, I think it's so important to win the division because the ultimate goal is snapping this playoff winless streak. And for me, I think that the best chance to do so is by hosting a playoff game at Acrisure Stadium against an opponent that's not one of these big dogs. And so I feel like, yeah, they absolutely need to win the division, but they need to do so because it presents them with the best path to winning that playoff game.
Yeah, of course. I mean, and I shouldn't say it would be a complete failure. I suppose they could go in as a wild card, and if they then make a playoff run, it wouldn't be a failure. But yes, you're right. The best route to them winning is going to be to win the division and have a home game. We were talking earlier today, Limits and I think that Aaron Rodgers has been pretty darn good. I really do, given the impediments around him, namely no consistent run game, no consistent offensive line, and no consistent wide receiver threat beyond Calvin Austin. That's a lot of impediments, and he hasn't been perfect by any means, but we both gave him a B-plus so far for this season. What would you give him, Mike? What do you think of him so far?
Yeah, I think the B-plus is fairly accurate. I think that you're seeing the Steelers working around their limitations and Aaron Rodgers fitting very much into that puzzle. Right now, Aaron Rodgers is getting the ball out of his hands faster than any quarterback in the NFL. The Steelers have the fewest air yards per attempt. This very much has shades of 2020 Steelers offense with Ben Roethlisberger. And if you remember, that offense collapsed upon itself when teams realized they couldn't throw the ball deep. The reason I think this is more sustainable is because you have a lot of guys who can create yards after the catch, and the Steelers are first in yards after the catch. We saw DK Metcalf take a, 15-yard slant to the house. We've seen Jalen Warren rip off a big gain. Jonnu Smith is a guy that can take a screen to the house. Calvin Austin can create with the ball in his hands. So, you know, I have my concerns, and I feel like this offense is hamstrung by their young offensive line that's going through its growing pains and by a 41-year-old quarterback who doesn't have the same mobility as he once did. But I think that you got to give Arthur Smith and Rodgers credit because they found ways to work around those limitations and still have a reasonably productive offense.
Mike, one of the most popular topics around town is the disappearance in this offense of Pat Freiermuth. He's playing fewer snaps than he's ever played in his career, and he's catching fewer balls than he's ever caught. You just mentioned Jonnu Smith, but there's also Mount Washington, who's become really important as a blocker, somewhat of a receiver, but more as a blocker. Like, what's the solution here for Freiermuth? And would they be best off at some point maybe looking to deal him if they're not going to use him?
Yeah, well, you know, the tough thing, the reason why you would talk about, I don't think they should trade him, first of all. I just don't, because you want to build this tight end centric offense, right? And if they had lost a Pat Freiermuth, they'd be totally screwed because you need a guy like that. And so the problem is, he and Jonnu Smith have somewhat overlapping skill sets. And Jonnu Smith is a Pro Bowler who also Arthur Smith has worked with him at two different places. And Arthur Smith loves his type of guys. You know, look no further than Scotty Miller. If you've played for Arthur Smith in the past, you can always play for Arthur Smith. So I think that that's part of it. And I don't really like... I'm not so concerned about Pat Freiermuth because I think the Steelers achieved their objective. They wanted to run the ball more effectively, and they were like, look, Darnell Washington is a better blocker, and adding Spencer Anderson in gives us more of an advantage. So unfortunately, it's just like Pat hasn't found a way to carve out a niche for himself. He's not dynamic enough as a receiving threat to feel like you have to funnel him targets, and he's not good enough as a blocker to merit getting in as the primary blocking tight end in 12 personnel and other tight end heavy personnel grouping. So you're right. He is kind of stuck in this no man's land, but I don't know how it changes. I'm going to be honest with you, Joe.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Did Kenneth Gainwell make a statement that he should be more involved as far as, you know, actually carrying the ball, even if Warren is healthy?
You know, I feel like we keep having this debate, and my thought is it's going to be a running back by committee approach, and we just have to accept that. Because I think it was a couple weeks ago, we were all saying, hey, it's time to give Jaylen Warren more carries and more touches. And even Aaron Rodgers was standing there at a press conference saying, great things happen every time we throw him the football. I feel like we need to get it to him more. Now, Kenneth Gainwell, behind an offensive line that added this Spencer Anderson, has a productive game, and we're talking about completely getting rid of Jaylen Warren or limiting his touches. You know, I think that there's a time and a place for each running back, and I think that you need both of them. And in fact, I would think you need Caleb Johnson a little bit more down the line, because I think he really does fit stylistically Arthur Smith's style of offense. He just really hasn't found his footing yet and hasn't been given a real opportunity. So, like, I feel like you're going to need all three of those guys. And depending on the opponent, the schematics, who's healthy, who you have faith in, it could change week to week. But I just feel like they're all capable enough and are good enough that in certain situations they should be given the ball.
Mike, what kind of vibe do you get about the possibility of Aaron Rodgers coming back next season?
I don't know, because Aaron Rodgers took us on a wild adventure for months and dragged it out. I mean, he said on the Pat McAfee show, he's pretty sure that this is going to be his last year. The thing that gives me pause is I saw on the Cam Hayward podcast, DK Metcalf was already saying, hey, maybe you want to come back for one more. I guess there's always a chance. I don't know that I've heard anything behind the scenes or had any conversations with anybody that would point me in any kind of direction. But I feel like just the uncertain nature of Aaron Rodgers and the unpredictable nature of it, I guess you can't completely count out him returning for next year.
Yeah, and that leads to a question about who they're going to draft. And that's been fluctuating up and down every week. And Drew Aller and Arch Manning have sunk way down the list. And guys like Dante Moore and Fernando Mendoza have risen up the list. Are you convinced that they're going to go all out at the draft here in Pittsburgh to identify and then go get their future guy?
Well, I mean, I think it's going to take more than what people realize to trade up into and move up in the first round. You know, a lot of people are talking about, like, well, they've stockpiled all of these draft picks. A third round draft pick doesn't do much for you in terms of moving up. If you legitimately want to move up, you're going to have to give up a 2026 first round pick, a mid-round draft pick this year, and another mid-round draft pick. Like, you look at just what the Bears had to do to move up in position to get Justin Fields. They were, I think, 19th to move up to wherever they got him, 11th or whatever it was. That's what it took. It took two first-round picks and two mid-round draft picks. So the question really is just, are the Steelers in love with a quarterback enough to feel like this is our guy, we have to go get him? I would like to see the Steelers do that, because it's felt to me like in the last couple of years, the Steelers have been almost content to allow other teams to make their quarterback decision for them. It doesn't feel like they've had any firm feelings or that, like, this is our guy, we have to do everything that we need to go get him. And I feel like that's the only way out of this current conundrum in this spinning your wheels with veteran quarterbacks is establishing or identifying somebody that you're willing to give up a lot to go get, and then making those necessary moves to go get them. Who that guy is, I agree with you, it's changing. You know, it doesn't look like Arch Manning is going to come out in this year's draft. It looks to me like Drew Aller is falling into the second round. But there still are a number of guys, starting with Lenore Sellers, that I feel like are worthy of first-round picks. And I think that the Steelers, whether they sit back or whether they move up, they can get a quarterback in the first round. But is that going to be that franchise-altering quarterback if you're only picking in the mid-20s and you wait around until he comes to you?
Limits, the notion of leaving you out of this conversation has Mike DeFabo near tears.
Thank you very kindly. I'm wondering about the linebackers here, Mike, and touch on it a little bit. But I feel like Nick Herbig is the type of guy that you can depend on and is getting better run defense-wise. They don't want to move around T.J. Watt very much, or maybe it's his choice. Do you think that they could play three linebackers, have Nick Herbig roam around, and even line up like right by the center to try to rush the passer as an extra blitzer at times?
Well, they do have a package where they have all three outside linebackers on the field at the same time. And that's typically on third downs. Herbig is usually the guy on the outside in like a seven or a nine technique, and it's more either he's rushing off the shoulder of either Watt or Herbig, or Watt or Highsmith. So I think you're going to see some of that. What I wonder is, like, I've thought down the line, if the way the Steelers do it is they have Jack Sawyer play primarily on run downs, and then Nick Herbig play mostly in passing situations down the line after, you know, Highsmith moves on at some point. And I could kind of do that in this game where you they've been missing Highsmith, and there have been times where we've talked about how they're running away from Watt. And the first couple games without Highsmith, I felt like his absence was magnified and showed his value on run downs. But at the same time, Herbig has been so impactful in one-dimensional pass rush situations. So what I would do in this next game coming up is I would play Highsmith run downs and then Herbig on third downs, and at times play both of them or all three. And I think that that could be the way that the Steelers approach this in this game and also going forward.
Mike, we appreciate the time, man. Hopefully we'll talk again next week.
That sounds great, Joe. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, buddy. That's Mike DeFabo of The Athletic. The more I look at this Chris Jones play from last night on the memorable play where Trevor Lawrence trips, tries to get up, falls again, and then runs for a touchdown. What is he doing? The New York Post made a whole story out of it. Chiefs star destroyed for effort on game-winning touchdown as team collapses. Limits, what is he doing? He's just standing there in the middle of the field. Now, maybe he was supposed to wait there to see if there was, if Lawrence was, you know, QB draw something. I don't know. But once it becomes clear that the play is breaking down and Lawrence runs to the outside, he just stands there and makes no effort.
Yeah, I could have beat him to the edge like Trevor Lawrence ultimately did, because he just basically bought a ticket like you and I are watching on TV for that final play. He just stood there and admired.
What he did is becoming a bigger story than what Lawrence did on the play. Wow, that is wild stuff.
Yeah, and for a guy that's paid so much money by them too.
It's all over social media right now. All right, Limits, let's look at the Penguins coming up next. They open their season tonight against the Fighting Mike Sullivans. And there are a lot of questions. Look at this depth chart. Look at this roster. To me, that's the story. There's like eight guys that nobody knows who they are. That doesn't mean they can't be good, but let's take a look at this coming up next as the Penguins launch the 2025-26 season.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.